It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential.
Being a pastor is one of the biggest blessings of my life. It can also be really challenging. Often it feels like everyone wants something from you. That's one of the reasons that it's so refreshing when you find a trusted ministry partner, a Christ-centered, church-driven organization that's truly there to help you carry your church's mission forward. For me, Compassion International has been one of those trusted ministry partners. Hear me say this, Compassion International is much more than asking people in your church to sponsor a child. Compassion offers proven, no-cost resources to help pastors make mission and discipleship a personal priority for individuals and families in their churches. My local Compassion team is in my corner. They genuinely care about me and my church. Learn more about partnering with Compassion at compassion.com/family goals.
Have you ever heard Davey talking about smartphones and kids with phones or the Pollock's family phone rules? This podcast is all about phones as we bring in Joey from Aro. Aro is all about turning screen time into family time and never missing key moments with your family.
I don't know, like, hang. There's just a lot of handsome on that other side of the camera.
Yeah, well, that's okay. You know what? We see the
I like you already.
Yeah, I only see Pastor Jay. Oh, David, are you on screen?
Yeah, because he was talking to Pastor Jay.
Yeah.
He was,
yeah,
I know.
Blocking over there.
We will make sure that absolutely makes it into the podcast immediately.
Got to.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, it goes along with my Davey's the talent. I'm the eye candy.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows it.
Everybody. I don't know. It looks like he's got his Daisy Dukes on. He's trying to creep into your eye candy status.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of something going on over there. Wojak's promised him that's not going to be on
screen.
I'm
about to say, Joey, what you got to realize is this is waist up, okay? We got business on top, party on bottom for the podcast. But appreciate you joining us, homie G. I know Joey, obviously, super well. Pastor Jay, it's Aro.
It's R-O.
R-O. The pronunciation is not always the greatest, but we want to make sure we get it out there, R-O. And if you didn't know how to spell it, it's very clear if you're watching online here on camera, because Joey's got it on his hat. He's got it behind him on the wall. So
very, very great marketing.
He's got it figured out.
You can't see my lower back tattoo. I got it there, too, on the lower back.
Right next to your butterfly?
Disgusting. Disgusting and disturbing, okay?
Butterfly is named Aro. Yeah, exactly.
That's disgusting. But and he's got the Aro box on the shelf behind him too. So
he's got it all.
Joey, I want you to start off and just tell us a little bit about Aro, how it came to fruition, what it's about, and what people need to know about it.
Well, I'll take you back about 11 years. So when my son Harrison, who is now just almost 16, he drove me to school this morning when he was 5 years old, he was playing his very first soccer season. And Harrison he's just the greatest kid. He's such a sweet kid. He's a great tennis player now, but on the soccer field, most of us know that sweet kids don't score a lot of goals in five-year-old soccer. So
yep. Nicholas Pollock,
we have
way.
One of those.
Yep.
You guys can relate to that. Okay. Oh, yeah. Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. So He was the last kid on the team who had not scored a goal. Everybody had scored except for Harrison. And so this ordinary Saturday afternoon became a really, truly extraordinary moment. And midway through the game, Harrison rears back his leg. And fellas, I think about this memory, and you almost see it like it's a movie in slow motion. Cue the dramatic music. The ball goes slow motion, rolls into the back of the net. Harrison scores his first soccer goal. And everybody goes nuts because, you all know, the kid who hadn't scored the goal finally scored a goal. So everybody goes crazy. The crowd goes wild. His coach grabs and picks him up. But there was this moment right in between the goal scoring and all the jubilation where Harrison did what five-year-old boys do. He turned to the sidelines to lock eyes with me, to see the pride on my face, to see the smile on my face. And it was truly magical, except I missed every bit of what I just described, because when Harrison looked over, all he saw was the top of my head as I was looking down at my phone at I have no idea what. I think I still have the bruises on my ribs from my wife's elbow telling me what had happened. She said, Joey, you just missed Harrison's first soccer goal. So it was that moment, guys, and I would love to say that was the only moment, but this was one of several moments where I realized that something was wrong, that I had a relationship, which we can talk about how weird it is that I have a relationship with the phone, but I have a relationship with this phone, with this device, and it was getting in the way of all of my most important relationships with life. So that was the seminal moment. That was one of those where I said, something's wrong. And so several years later, my my friend, now co-founder Heath Wilson, texted me and he said, hey, I got an idea. And this idea was, you're struggling, I'm struggling, we're all on our phones, we're missing out on these great moments in life. It's getting in the way of our best intentions. Let's do something about it. Let's do something about it for our families. If we can do something about it for our families, I bet you we can help a lot of families in this journey that all of us are on.
Well, I think this dream came out of birth out of a real solving a problem in your own life. And I'm sure millions of parents have the same.
Well, if millions of parents don't think they have a phone problem, millions of parents are wrong. Like, I mean, we all have a phone problem. And I think this whole episode is going to be literally like, we've got to understand that and we've got to see that. And how do we incorporate rules? How do we incorporate things into our lives? Listen, we talk about it with our marriages. We talk about guardrails. We talk about with our friends. We talk about guardrails. We talk about it with everything in our lives. And it's amazing to me that, you know, at 15 years old or at 16 years old, they don't hand you a set of car keys and say, go drive the car, right? You've got a learner's permit. You've got a season of learning. You've got a season of driving and doing. But we are inclined to hand a cell phone to a kid and say, have at it.
Without
restrictions, without rules.
And you know what, David, I think what's interesting about that, and it occurs to me right now because of how real that driving example is for me. We're on the highway this morning. Harrison's driving me and he's driving my daughter Gianna, and brake lights go on ahead of us and he doesn't hit the brakes. And so luckily he had some distance. I said, Harrison, brakes. So if he would have hesitated for another moment, we would have rear-ended this vehicle. And I think the reason, and it's obvious, but the reason why we give all this instruction to kids before they get driver's license is because we recognize how potentially destructive vehicles are, right? Without training, we recognize how destructive they are. And the problem when it comes to cell phones is smartphones have been around for about 16 years. The data is coming out. We all feel it in certain ways, but up to this point, we haven't really fully grasped how potentially destructive this thing is in not only kids' hands, in our hands, all of our hands, how destructive this is to our own personal good, our own personal relationships. Again, we talk so much about the relationship with the device and the relationships with others. There are a bunch of other destructive things you can do, but just the core relationship we have with it that we haven't yet fully embraced. And this may be my hope as we're talking about this for people out there listening is, let's recognize how potentially destructive this thing is. And let's also see the hope in it. There's actually some really cool opportunity that comes out of this when we can recognize it's hard to put them down. They are potentially destructive, but it presents an amazing opportunity for us to do something great with it.
Joey, I got a stat for you, bro.
Come on.
I heard this the other day. I think it was on K-Love or 104.7 The Fish. They were doing something. They were saying people that have a job that requires a lot of screen time, which is a lot of jobs, right? Like, I mean, it's obviously that we have a dependence on it that we've never had before, and it continues to grow and get stronger. People that have a dependence of a job that they spend 4 hours a day on a screen-ish, along with their hobbies, and you're spending 6+ hours a day, if you live to 80 years old, that's 20+ years of your life on a device.
Oh,
Joey, put that right. Yeah, right. Get your pen and pad and write that down. 20+ years of your life that you spend on a device. Dude, it's a problem, man. Like, it is a big deal. And listen, we're all trying to find ways to solve this. I think we first have to hear this and we have to understand, like, we've all got issues. Like, we've all got scrolling issues. We've all got texting issues. We've all got dependence issues on our phone. And I think implementing rules and strategies, and that's why this box is amazing. That's why it's personal to me. That's why I'm with these guys 100% on developing something like this that can help take a problem and make it a solution to help your family grow from it, to help you grow from it, because we're all depending on it way too much.
Well, I think it's good too that you're saying it's not just a problem with the kids. It's everybody's problem. It's not just something for the kids, because when you think about phone rules at the house, my mind immediately goes to my 15-year-old daughter. I'm not thinking about my wife. I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about her. But from what y'all keep bringing up, it's all of us. It's for all of us, not just for the kids.
And then you have that daily, by the way, that weekly screen time. You have your daily average. I mean, some of y'all, like some of us, I mean, that should disturb you a lot. Like if you're spending 4 hours a day on your phone, and listen, we lie to ourselves more than anybody, and we're going to justify it. Yeah, I was doing this. Yeah. I was doing that. Yeah.
I was in the Bible app.
Yeah, the Bible app.
YouVersion Bible app.
You know what I like about it, by the way? But you know what I like about that, by the way? I like that it breaks it down for you, so you can't do that. You can't say, oh, but, you know, like most of that's surely like grown people stuff. And, oh, texting 62 minutes a day. That's weird. Social media, golly, an hour and 30 minutes? Like it kind of makes it pretty concrete for you.
Well, Pastor Jay, I love you saying that, because we got to stop blaming the kids. Where on earth do we think the kids are learning this? We talk all the time at R. We talk about the three M's. We talk about the three M's as parents. So we, as parents, we model the first M. We model a bad relationship with our phones. We give our kid a phone someday, and then what do? They mimic what we've modeled to them. And then we do something absolutely crazy with the third M. We get mad at them for mimicking what we've modeled to them. Are you kidding me? Let's just go ahead and stop blaming the kids. Let's just go ahead and look at it at ourselves. But it's a lot easier to say it's them. Dave, to your point, like, oh yeah, I was doing important parent stuff. That doesn't matter. And I'll tell you what, it especially doesn't matter to young kids. They don't care if you are brokering the freedom of Tibet on your phone. They don't care. All they know is they want daddy to hang out with them. They want mommy to hang out with them. They know it. They don't care if it's a text or if it's social media or a game or freeing Tibet. It doesn't matter to them when they see us on our phones. And so what are they going to do? They're going to perpetuate that thing. And then it's going to be a whole cats in the cradle situation one day. We're just going to get mad at them for ignoring us, just like we've ignored them, right? So there's something really, really wrong with this. But the cool opportunity is, what if we model a great relationship? What if we model a relationship that we want them to mimic? If we can think with the future in mind and we can say, I want them to mimic exactly this relationship, that I'm fully present, that I look in eyes when people talk to me. This, to me, as parents, whether your kids are young or old, and this is cool. Again, I have, 16-year-old and 14-year-old. This is as great an opportunity for me as it is for kids who are young. And if we can get ahead of this, when your kids are young, the stakes are high, but the pain is low when your kids are young. Yeah. So let's get it right then, because the stakes remain high and the pain just gets higher as they get older, but it's still possible. There's still hope for everybody. But to me, this is the coolest thing we can do. This is what for all of us, I think guys think in these terms a lot too. This to me is the greatest lever we have available to us. So what's a lever? A lever is something that requires minimal input that gives maximum output relative to effort. This thing right here, this opportunity to fix this relationship with our phones, is the greatest lever we have in life, I think, in parents.
I mean, obviously brokering some freedom would be fantastic too. I mean, you just downplayed brokering freedom. I'm just saying, Joe.
Well, look, I'm working on Tibet. Okay. I promise you that. I don't want to say too much, but there's going to be some Tibet news coming out of RO pretty soon.
All right. So how do you do this?
My question is, I like how you're relating this relationship to your phone. Well, what is a healthy relationship with your phone?
I love that. Look, can I back up for a second and talk about the fact that we when we say we have a relationship, this is what's so interesting about this. We talk about we have a relationship with our phones, and no one bats an eye at that. Like, yeah, I'm really, but hold on one second. That's freaking weird.
Yeah.
We have a relationship with an object. What are we talking about, right? We as grownups don't have relationships with objects. I mean, I see my lawnmower about once a week for 9 months out of the year. But when a conversation gets boring, I don't go sneak in a quick mow, right? This is what we're doing with our phones. And David, I know you don't mow your lawn.
I didn't know you mowed your lawn. By the way,
you got people for that.
I do have a relationship with my utility rescue club, golf club.
Yes.
I call her baby doll.
And by the way, sometimes it's better than other, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, sometimes I go for little sister, but most of the time it's baby doll.
Anyways,
David's seen me on the golf course. David knows I have no relationship with golf.
Oh my gosh. Actually, it's a negative one. It's a get as far away as possible.
Are we gonna see you at the Pollock Family Foundation?
I need to get out there. It was so much fun last year. You guys, it's what an amazing event. I do need to get out there, and such a great event last year. So I'm excited about that.
So how are we developing the relationship that is not a relationship, a relationship that is weird and awkward?
It is weird, and the reason why, just to quickly classify what this relationship is, this is, as adults, we don't have relationships with objects, but kids have relationships with objects. Kids have relationships with objects that are called transitional objects, or sometimes called comfort objects, and those are things like pacifiers and blankies and teddy bears, and they hold on to these things to give themselves a false sense of security, right? Their parents are gone, so they hold on to these things. So we've reverted back to childhood with our relationship with our phone. We're clinging to this comfort object. A conversation gets awkward or boring, we look at our phones. Hmm. Or we're sitting at the dinner table and we get kind of bored and we look at our phones. And so instead of clinging to this false sense of security when our real security is gone, like our parents, like kids, we do it in the presence of real security. We do it in the presence of real relationships. We're back to this childhood. And it starts with the fact, and this is going to sound so basic, guys, but I challenge anybody to implement this in their life. It's because they're with us all the time. That is the core relationship we've developed. This has happened fast, so there's no shame in this, because this is something that we've learned over the last 16 years when smartphones came out. They are with us all the time. 91% of smartphone users keep their phones on their body 91% of the time, 24 hours a day. That's a shocking stat. And as a result, so there are three defining characteristics of a relationship. There's proximity, there's interaction, and dependence. That's what defines any relationship you have in life. How much are you around somebody? How much do you interact with them? And then how dependent are you on them? So our phones are with us 91%. 91% of us, our phones are with us 24 hours a day. That's a real problem. And because when we have them, we're going to use them. It leads to the interaction. 89% of our smartphone usage is self-initiated. We are the ones engaging with our phones. It's not the notifications coming in that are getting us. That's only 11%. So we're using them all the time because they're with us. And then the dependence, this is the real funny one. And Pastor Jay, I love that you use that word, because dependence is a funky one, because we kind of need them, right? They're good. They do a lot of cool things. But we start to delude ourselves that we're more dependent on them than we actually are. We don't actually need them as much as we do. David, you're so good about this, putting your phone down when it's time. And this is, you know, this is what we built here is to help you put them down. So that's the key problem: proximity, interaction, dependence. That defines a relationship. Let me take a pause there. I'm going to get over to your actual question, which was, how do we change the relationship with it? But I do want to take a pause there. Any reflection on those things in terms of how we built that relationship? Does that resonate with you guys?
Yeah, it's kind of gross. I mean, it's not good, but it is. Like, you think about, you used to go drive in a car and you could go where you wanted to go and you had to figure it out and you watch street names. Well, now 100% of the time you put it in Waze. You use your phone. Yeah. You use your app. Like, you're, you know, it's interesting too. We talked about this the other day in our household. Like, now the wallet is your phone, because you're not going to lose your phone. Because your phone's on you all the time. Now we've put credit cards and stuff on the outside of the wallet, because it makes sense. Because you won't leave the house without your phone. You will leave the house with your wallet. So, and listen, the way you pay for things, the way you communicate, church small groups, they send it out. They send out reminders. The basketball team, the football team, the every team in America now, it's via text message. So.
Well, it's even your ticket to get into the game.
It's your ticket.
You can't even pay cash at a high school basketball game.
I mean, everything we have is now on that. So now how are we supposed to live life and do all of these things when this is something that everybody is using now to get their message out? Like, this podcast is going to go on the podcast app, which is going to come to your phone, which is where it's going to be downloaded and listened to 90% of the time. So,
yeah.
So I need a solution, Joey. All you're doing is giving me problems and depressing me. You're not making this any better with your three M's and your 72, you know, words you're using. Like, I mean, fix me, bro. Like, well, what are you going to do?
I will say that I don't sleep with my phone.
Great.
I went out and bought a regular alarm clock.
Okay.
Like a
I didn't know where you were going with that. I didn't know if we were going.
Because people make
it because it was with your golf, because there wasn't enough room for your phone and your golf club in the bed. I didn't know if that was
she has slept with me a few times. I've taken pictures of her laying on my pillow. And I am referring to my golf club. But no, a lot of people make the excuse, well, I need my phone with me at night because it's my alarm clock.
Yep.
And so you know, we had the rule in our house, you leave the phones in the kitchen at 9 o'clock. And so, well, you have your phone with you. So anyway, I went and got an alarm clock.
That a boy.
So anyway, I just wanted...
What a perfect example of this false dependency we've grown on it. People, because that is what you just said is the excuse, the overnight. Mm-hmm. Well, I use my alarm clock. That's a false dependency. You don't need your phone. That's not the only source of you waking up. There are other external solutions that we've had for quite a few years. So there's a great example where we're deluding ourselves into saying we have this dependence.
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I love Joey's three M's: model, mimic, and mad for mimicking what we modeled for them. What are you modeling for your kids? Are you setting a good example? This goes for screen time and phones, but also goes with everything else in life. Are you walking the walk? Are you living out what you preach? Let's set the phones down and live life. Give your kids the attention they desire and crave for. Check back next week as we get into part two, because Davey gets into the Pollock family phone rules. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter at Family Goals Pod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals podcast, and we'll catch you next week.